You are listening to episode number 207 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to yet another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Sorry for the week off, but either way, this episode is going to be a little bit different because, unlike past shows, and partially because hardly anything has come out in 2 weeks, we're not going to talk about comics this time because, you can also check out our special edition podcast on the Ant-Man. You can go look at that. So you're going to get about the same amount of content as you would normally would. So be happy. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Love that song. That should be the theme for the song. The theme for the show.
But
yes.
Fox News headline.
Oh, the irony. Oh, the fucking irony. Yes, it works. Okay. But either way, we're not going to talk about comics. But if you, whatever comics you did read, let us know in the comments. I know I read Captain Britain and the Mighty Defenders. Judge fucking Dredd. That's all I'll say. So let's open it up with some X-Men news. Brian, kick us off.
Okay, in case you missed the kids, Apocalypse is upon us, but not the apocalypse you're thinking of, not the one the Fox News preached about black people and homosexuals. No, this is about a mutant apocalypse, kiddies, and it's coming at you from Entertainment Weekly, where we get the first images of the X-Men Apocalypse movie featuring none other than Oscar Isaac as En Sabaneur, and also featuring, we got Storm in her mohawk look going on, and we got Psylocke. And we got, Michael Fassbender in his new Magneto outfit and such. And so, yeah, we're getting our first look behind the curtain, so to speak, at the X-Men Apocalypse film, which supposedly, well, the trailer soon. I mean, they premiered it at San Diego. I would imagine it's already out there in the ether, and you kids have already seen it.
Yeah, but it's not a really good look at the trailer.
Yeah, it's not a good quality trailer. But suffice to say that hopefully we'll get a better look at it at some point. But we have these images, these still images for Entertainment Weekly featuring the premiere of, you know, the Mohawk Storm and Psylocke and Apocalypse. And in case you've been away from the internet for the past, like, 2-3 weeks, a certain meme has arisen around En Sabaneur, which Iggy is frustrated with, which compares the first mutant with none other than Ivan Ooze from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers
movie. Did he stick have a whistling sound? Why do I remember that one line? Angel. I don't remember that fucking one line. I don't remember any other line but that one. Keep going, Brian.
On top of the apocalypse news, we have the promise made by Evan Peters of a bigger and better Quicksilver scene in X-Men Apocalypse.
See, not so that means he's gonna be gone.
I hope he sticks around. I hope they don't just shove him off like they did in Days of Future Past. Because that was unceremonious. We're just like, yeah, go away now. You done good. Get the fuck out of here.
We could use you in the fight with the Sentinels. Oh
no. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
That fight would have been a joke.
Yeah. No shit. And also the fact that Bryan Singer has says that there are quote ideas in play end quote for an X-Men Fantastic Four crossover. However, he also on to say that the fact that they want to be able to build the brand of both franchises, although really Fantastic Four at this point, they want to be able to build the brand before they start crossing them over. So it makes sense to a degree that they're just ideas at this point. But however the Fantastic Four movie pans out, for good or ill, we'll decide, I suppose, what comes with this crossover plan. So those are the X-Men news thus far. Unless you want me to dip into the rest
No,
of the plot story.
Let's we'll talk about the X-Men. This what was the other part? Oh, the crossover, right? Was the next
Yeah,
one?
the
We'll
crossover.
talk about the pictures first. One. Am I look in one? Okay, internet. Okay, internet. I'm gonna talk to you for a second. In one fucking image, is the lighting purple? If you look at the cover for Entertainment Weekly, which is a great fucking cover, by the way, he is clearly blue. You know, so it's like everybody thinking, one, and I've said this on Twitter, I'm gonna say it again. I love this Apocalypse design. Anybody who was expecting the gigantic celestial chosen sort of wires, tubes everywhere was, you're stupid, because they haven't, it would look weird out within the context of the X-Men universe that has been established. That being said, I do love the homages to it. One, he really, they, like, if you look at it, especially around the headdress area, it really looks like they're going for more of the Egyptian pharaoh kind of look, which ties into his Egyptian roots. Which I agree with. And you know, and we talk about superhero costumes, and the X-Men in particular of have and the X-Men in particular have been very not faithful costumes to the comics. Psylocke's costumes looks almost straight out like it's not a one for one replica, but that's pretty damn close.
Yeah, I agree.
Like down to the how Jim Lee drew the leg through the legs to the armbands, that is legit straight. And in the cover, you can see her sword, with the kinetic energy in one hand. So that is straight up Psylocke's costume. Not a fan of Mo I think Mohawk Storm again. Not there is a th there seems to be a thematic, because I think they're hinting like these are obviously going to be Apocalypse's horsemen: Psylocke, Storm.
Magneto falls in with that crowd
And
too. And
Psylocke, Storm, and Magneto, and there's one. That means there's one more, whoever that good person's gonna be. Probably Archangel. They just haven't shown him off yet.
yeah.
But
Oh, have we seen Angel yet in
we've
the
seen like a promotional art image, but we haven't seen like one of these yet.
Right.
But I think like look at one. Like there's one image where you see like Singer talking to Apocalypse. Look at his head. You can see the tubes. You can see within the layers of his arms. The tubes are there. They're just not that overtly big. And I loved all the little details and attention to his costume. I legit love Apocalypse's costume. And like a lot of people throwing out there, oh, cosplayers can do this. Yeah, cosplayer, you know, I for what it is, it's a damn good look, interesting take on Apocalypse. I really like it.
I enjoy it.
I can't wait to see it when he's like a legit trailer, when he's like in action and talking. If he the look is there now. All Oscar Isaac,
Yes, Oscar Isaac.
he has two first names. That's weird. All he
Ricky
has to,
Bobby, he's got two first
yeah,
names.
all he has to do is have that commanding presence that Apocalypse should have. And based on these images, he's got it.
Not only that, but he's got his entourage to back him up too.
Also, Olivia Munn. Holy hell, does she look lovely as Psylocke? Holy hell. Does she have purple hair? Or is that the lighting?
Yes, it's tinted purple.
Oh, that's even better. I feel like this is going to be the most faithful adaptation
I
to X
always
that.
knew she was evil. Now I know
Well, I
for
mean,
her.
Psylocke did start. Didn't Psylocke start? No, I mean, in comics continuity,
She started out British, that's
she
what she
started off
started out
British.
with.
But
Started out British, became Asian, became Lady Mandarin, became
but I really I'm this this is I'm not feeling Magneto's redesign, because I really like the last one. I feel
I
like,
can't imagine he'll keep it for very long.
no, I think this is like Apocalypse's armor kind of thing, or Apocalypse design. I'm happy with this. I'm really happy with this. So yeah, what do you guys thought? What are you guys' thoughts on this costume?
I like Olivia Munn's Psylocke. It actually looks like one of the more accurate comics I've seen, to translation to the screen. I'm going to hold out on the Apocalypse until we get closer to the actual deal when they show more and stuff. I mean, he looks cool now, but let's get past it to where we can get past the whole Ivan Ooze joking and stuff, because all joking aside, he does look cool, but I want to see more what they're going to do. Other than that, they're going to have my money as usual. You know, just have to wait and see what they do. So,
no thoughts on Apocalypse's costume? No, nothing.
It looks cool. I agree that I like how they're doing the more Egyptian style deal to it. Apocalypse has never been one of my all-time favorite villains. And
well,
don't
then
take
you're
that
wrong automatically.
Way.
You know.
Of course, you know it's the internet. What do you expect? But when he's done right, he is pretty good. But I hope they do him right. From what I've heard about Oscar Isaacs, he's a good actor, and I think he'll do a good job. And all the jokes about Bryan Singer and all that in the past, you know, say what you will about it, the man does some damn good X-Men movies. So I'm not really worried about it. You know, just have to wait and see what they come out with and how. And see how James McAvoy goes full Xavier.
Yeah.
And
all right.
Go from there.
Brian, any thoughts?
I think Storm looks actually pretty decent. She can't be any worse than Halle Berry. So yeah.
Oh, don't even, let's not.
Relax. I'm bashing Halle Berry, so it's okay.
I know, but still.
Psylocke, her appearance is decent. Again, I take issue with Olivia Munn just as a person in general, but if she can deliver on the performance, I'm willing to look past that. So we'll see how she handles herself when the movie airs. And to that same thing, I think that Apocalypse's wardrobe is befitting a man of his alleged age and stature and such, and I think it comes off. It has that feel to it, that ancient feel with a bit of a modern look to it. And, you know, as Iggy said, you can see the details.
Have we heard any rumors of Mr. Sinister being in this movie? Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing
yet. It'd be cool.
He fits so right in. I mean, like, whatever.
Yeah. it would be cool to see him show up as, like, just like, you know, like Apocalypse is talking to his cronies and he just goes, Essex! And it's just like, I hope that happens. I hope it does. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'm worried that, you know, this might be a little bit too much of the Spider-Man 3 factor going on here, but X-Men has always seemed to handle that better than the Sony pictures have done in, you know, recent memory. So I'm willing to give it a chance. It's just, you know, I'll reserve judgment on how I perceive them, because, you know, you can only look so much at the part, you have to be able to act the part, too, so... I think when we start seeing more footage, more trailers and stuff, hopefully when the movie drops, we'll be able to judge more of that. But for right now, I'm excited. Everything looks like it's going to be good. You know, only time will tell if it actually is good. But nothing would please me more than to, you know, be wrong about any of these characters being actually, you know, good. Because the characters they're showing here are not some of my favorite. I enjoy Apocalypse as a villain, 100%. But Psylocke, she only really started to appeal to me in X-Force years in recent memory with the Remender's Run. And
you, my friend, have missed out on Jim Lee's X-Men.
Oh, hell
it's
yeah.
I know. It's something I'll have to remedy in years to come. But that being said, Storm has never been one of my favorites, so I'm sort of ambivalent at this point as to what I think about these characters. I'll wait to see more. I'm really excited to see the expansion of Xavier's crew with Jean, Cyclops, Jubilee, all that stuff. I want to see Nightcrawler. I want to see all these guys in action, you know.
Also, so find it funny that that Jubilee is there, yet she's the quintessential girl of early 1990s culture, and this movie takes place in 1982. I just find that very, very
She's ahead of the curve, though.
I guess. April O'Neil wants her jacket back, lady.
Hey.
Hey, now.
April O'Neil wore a jumpsuit.
You're right. I don't know why. Whatever, it's yellow. Yellow.
Because it's the same awful shade of yellow doesn't mean it's the
yes.
same.
No.
Anywho, that's really all I have to say about that.
All right, so let's move on to some other things. This leads to another one. As obviously being under the same look, we have got some hints of a possible Fantastic Four X-Men crossover. Brian?
Yeah. Singer made some comments in an interview with, I believe it was Newsarama, or Newsarama was one that recorded it, and saying that those ideas for a crossover between the X-Men and Fantastic Four are in play. We'll have to see how Fantastic Four and Apocalypse turn out. But to just say you're going to do it would be a mistake. You have to see how the films evolve before you can make decisions based on that. But they are hopeful. And the crossover, I think, Singer says, is, quote, natural. They would be a natural matchup because they're both ensemble films, and there is such a natural mechanism by which to do it. I don't want to give it away, but it deals with time. That's all I'm going to say. And
damn. So, because I mean, it does play because the X-Men of now, the current X-Men you're rolling with, are in the early 80s versus the Fantastic Four movie takes place in the, as far as looks based on the trailers, the here and now. So, which, like, you know what I realized if they do this? And normally I'd bitch about Magneto being in the lead movie again, but this is the only opportunity where we could get Magneto and Doctor Doom in the same fucking movie.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Like, just you know what? You know, as like we in the Ant-Man episode, we kind of like, and we're going to talk about more at the status of the MCU in a bit, but like over superhero saturation doesn't mean market being saturated. But, like, just fucking do it. I want to give you my money, Fox. You know? I'm gonna give you my money for Fantastic Four. I'm going to give you my money for Apocalypse. Like, you know, make it organic, you know, don't make it like where each movie is a chapter, but like make it like one big super event with the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Two teams coming to, not individual superheroes coming together, but two teams. That has never been done before. I think that could be fun, you know? I think I want this to happen.
Yeah, again, I'll kind of side with Singer on this one and say I'm sure that's dependent on how I know Apocalypse probably do gangbusters, but a Fantastic Four still up in the air at this point. It's something we'll cover in another forthcoming news segment. But when it's these properties and stuff, it's the same thing where, you know, Spider-Man wasn't a part of Marvel. You know, if you don't see them crossing over with the bigger aspects, I feel lost. But that's not to say it wouldn't be cool. You know, you got to smoke them if you got them, and eventually you're going to run out of ideas for each franchise on its own. You got to come together and do the
Fantastic Four hasn't even gotten started yet, but I still want to see the fucking... I still want to see Doom.
I want to see Doom proper, yeah.
So I guess I'll just say that I'm willing to see how it pans out or where it goes, but I got to... Something me and John were talking about again. This will. We'll talk more about that in the next segment. But to say that I am just blindly going to devote myself to this depends wholly on Fantastic Four at this point. You know, because I have faith in the X-Men franchise. There have been some misses, but there have been more hits than misses. And obviously, you know, when they fucked up because they went ahead and rebooted the entire timeline. So I'll wait and I'll see exactly how the quality of these films are before I reserve judgment on how a crossover.
All right. Well, let us know in the comments if you are down for a Fantastic Four X-Men crossover. I think it's cool. I think it would be cool. Fuck you, Avengers. Is what I'm saying. After your disappointment that was Avengers: Age of Ultron. I want my X-Men Fantastic Four movies. And I'm really think Fantastic Four is going to surprise a lot of people. I think it's going to be a very fun sci-fi movie. So there you go. So speaking of Fantastic Four, I'm going to take over the news segment for this one, Brian. Toby Kebbell, who is the actor for Doctor Doom, as we heard, he's going to be a blogger, but apparently no. There's no conversation about Doom's origins film. We don't have time to talk about me. I would love to, but we don't have real time. Yeah, he's still the same place. His mother's still a gypsy and done her deals. His father has perished from exposure looking after me. He's angry. He's an angry dude. But now he's in Baxter. He's bright, and he's trying to make people proud. He's found a new father in Dr. Storm, the father of Johnny and adopted father of Sue. I kind of get adopted as well in a fantastic performance by R.G. Cathy, who is Franklin Storm. That's right, and that Doom, as we see him, he's a computer technician, a computer scientist. There are rumors he was a hacker or something, but no. Rumors? You outright said that they were, that's what that shit was. What rumors? What? Mm-hmm. We have it on this podcast that you, whatever. Okay. But no, Victor Von Doom is hope he will be. Now, this is about Doctor Doom. This is about arguably the greatest Marvel villain in the Marvel Universe. If that's true, That trailer, when he goes, only doom, and then the camera turns, I have chills. They automatically, that one line, have it better than the freaking earlier, the 2005 version of Fantastic Four. That goofy son of a bitch. What's his name? Something? Guys, help me out here. The actor who played Doom in the last movie.
Julian McMahon.
Yeah, that guy. He sucked. He was horrible. That wasn't Doom.
Because he wasn't Victor Von Doom. Von Doom is an international monarch / wizard / techno whiz. He was a cutthroat businessman who had some slightly creepy moments, and all in all, was just petty. That wasn't Doctor Doom.
That was a creepy version of Bruce Wayne, is what that was.
Dr. Doom is a guy who looks at the Hulk when he throws a punch and bounces him right back out of the fucking castle wall into the ether.
So it sounds like we're going to get, maybe not like this is clearly Ultimate Doom. I mean, this is clearly, we've already known this is going to be based off of Ultimate Fantastic Four for years. So it makes sense. And if that's the case, I really like Doom in that series. So I'm excited. And hopefully maybe at the end we'll get like a picture of Doom sitting on the throne somewhere, you know. Maybe Fox will actually give us a compelling villain. Unlike Marvel, unlike Marvel Studios has yet to give us one. You know? Suck it. I'm salty tonight. but what are you guys' thoughts on Fantastic Four and Doom and potential pre-hype for Fantastic Four coming out in 2 weeks?
John, you take this
one. I really can't.
You need to let your buyer.
I'll tell you right now. I will be the first one that will gladly eat major crow if this movie actually, you know, is good. I'm hoping I eat major crow. I want you to rub it in that I said it sucked ass and all that. And, you know, I really, really, really would like to be able to see it on a plane where I can take the headset off and just let it go on. But, seriously, I, you know, when they did Doom as a blogger and all that, I was like, oh, good God, they really just, and then it's like now 2 weeks before, they're finally saying, no, he's going to be more like this, and I'm like, Ryan, why are you doing this now? You're like 2 weeks away. You should have been doing this a couple of months ago when you still had a shot in hell to make this a halfway decent hit. I'm gonna
Which,
still.
To be
I'm,
fair, it'll still be a hit, but the bad yeah, press is bad yeah. press, you know.
Yeah. Now I will say this: I will see it, and I'm not going to expect it to. You know, I'm going to try to go in there without any hate, you know, because you know it's not fair to a movie, you know, coming at you know that kind of thing. But I don't know. I'm not as bad as I was a year ago because I've seen some of the trailers and I'm like, okay, not as terrible as I'm thinking it might be. And, you know, and I'm hoping that I'm really, really hoping it's a lot better than what I expect it to be because, you know, I'm fully expecting to trash this thing. And I just, part of me is just like, dude, come on, let's just hope. Look at the silver lining at the end of the tunnel. And I'm like, I hope it's there. That's all I can say.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard was a case of old man syndrome. Don't get it. Don't get it. I think Fantastic Four is going to surprise a lot of people. I'm going to go ahead and agree with resident non-listener Wes. This is going to be a better movie than Avengers: Age of Ultron, because Age of Ultron was that big of a fucking disappointment. So, yeah, I think it will be a better movie despite all the shit we've heard. I think it'll be a better movie. I think we're going to get fucking X-Men First Class with this shit. That's how good I think this movie
is. Dude,
I
am hoping that it's X-Men First Class. I really am. Because if there is one super team that I admit it, I'm old school. Fantastic Four was one of the teams that got me into the comics, aside from the, you know, it was John Byrne's run on Fantastic Four, along with his and Claremont's run on X-Men, that got me to being a Marvel fan like I am today. And so I might be a little biased, but I truly am hoping that it's going to be X-Men First Class, because I remember you guys trashing that left and right back when you were seeing all the information on that, and you weren't the only ones. A lot of other people were trashing it as well. And I'm truly hoping that this is not a train wreck. I really am hoping for first class. So about all I could say on that.
All right. Well, Brian, anything to say about pre-Fantastic Four hype?
Yeah, like I had mentioned before, John and I had been discussing this before we went on the air. And it was just, you know, it's something where even if you hadn't come out and said this yourself, which I guess he did. I totally forgotten if he said one way or the other. Even if you had come out, why wouldn't you then backpedaled and said the truth about the matter? Because, you know, bad press is bad press. And people who may be thinking one way or the other, anybody who has a negative opinion of someone who's a fucking Redditor or something like that would see that reflect and be like, yeah, no, I'm not feeling that. So to come out and just say what your character is one way and then go, oh, no, but I actually meant this. That's incredibly stupid. And part of me wonders if maybe it was changed in reshoots and whatnot. Did they do reshoots? I'm assuming they did for Fantastic Four. They went back and they edited some stuff, I think.
Yeah, they did some.
They did reshoots, but every movie does reshoots.
I know.
Every movie does reshoots. Unfortunately, there was a story tagged along with these reshoots.
Yeah, but like I said, movies can take that and sort of exploit the reshoots to change things, like they did with Thor: The Dark World. They went back and added more Loki, you know.
But I think the reshoots will probably. I think based on what we heard, if the reshoots didn't happen, we'd probably be getting a different movie. I think, but
more than likely,
I think something happened.
Yeah.
Josh Trank getting fired, the primary one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, you know, in terms of the Doom characterization, I hope they get it fucking right. Because the way that Toby Kebbell initially described the character was not Doctor Doom. Julian McMahon's character was not Doctor Doom.
No, he was basically playing himself from freaking that FX show he was on at the time.
Nip Tuck.
Yeah, Nip Tuck, that creepy show.
Yeah. So, you know, they haven't really done a faithful adaptation, a live action adaptation of Doom. You know, they've done it in various like animated stuff, like over in Avengers. I know they had a characterization film with it that was really good, and I know they got him right so much in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, the first one. Doom was really good there. But he's at the same time a complex character, but he's also probably the simplest character to get right. You know, he's from Latveria. He comes over to America to study, you know, technology and stuff. Ends up being scarred, goes his own way, then he gets involved with magic and shit, and he becomes the dictator of his own country. There it is. Simple enough. Or maybe less simple when you actually put it to screen. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, the character of Doom, just as the character of all the Fantastic Four members, has to come off as being genuine for me to care about this movie, you know? Like, back in the first Fantastic Four movie, you know, Chris Evans as the Human Torch was pitch perfect, I thought. Same thing with Michael Chiklis as Ben Grimm, you know, who is honestly one of my favorite Marvel characters of all time. The thing. He's fantastic. I love him. So, and even to that point, the guy that played Mr. Fantastic, his name is Casey, but I thought he did a fantastic job playing that character. And, you know, in this new movie, yeah, it's a different direction. It's the ultimate iteration, which is fine. But when you're backpedaling this hard on character description, I want to know that one way or the other what it's going to be. Because I don't want to go in and be disappointed, or I don't want to go in and be pleasantly surprised because I thought I was going to go in and get something else, but then I get something different. Like, why wouldn't you put that out there earlier? But that being said, you know, it's only, like, what, 2 weeks until the premiere now?
Yeah.
Not even?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're probably premiering it, like, this weekend. Like, different places, but...
So, at this point, it's kind of a moot point at this point, you know?
We're all going to see it.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
Uh-huh.
But how that turns out is totally up to the hands it's in, but I honestly don't have high hopes for it. But then again, I didn't have high hopes for Ant-Man, and I went in, and I loved it. So, you know, if they do, in fact, get it right, I'll be the first one, like John said, to eat crow and just own up to me calling it bullshit. Because we've done it before, and we've been wrong before. So, I guess it just depends on how the movie turns out. So
look how we were kind of wrong about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Remember that.
I think we were all a lot of, except for the one of us, I think we were all pretty much okay.
Yeah, Taser was not happy.
We were surprised in how much fun it turned out to be. I don't think any of us were turning out, we're thinking it's going to be, except for Taser, like a huge, like, oh my God, it's going to be awful.
No, I understand. That's, but I'm just saying we had.
But like this one was like, oh, it's the apocalypse, haha. Oh, it's this and that. I'm like, I think it's going to be a better fucking movie than Avengers: Age of Ultron. It's hard because Age of Ultron was a bad movie, but okay. Not gonna be that hard. So either way. So let's talk about one final topic before we go for tonight, people. With Avengers: Infinity War coming in 2019, oh my God, that is so long away.
But it'll go by in a flash.
Is it 2018 when it comes out, or 2019?
I think it's two parts. So part one
is 2018, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 3 years away. Oh my God. And it'll be here like that. But there's been Marvel has been very tight-lipped on anything post that. And there's discussion that came up on the GLC and message boards of all places, on especially with the coming of Ant-Man, should there be like trilogies for like some of these, let's say, smaller heroes, like say Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, who's another character that's getting a movie? Is anybody else getting a movie?
Captain Marvel.
Like, should these characters have quote unquote trilogies? A bigger question in films: do films actually need trilogies anymore? You know.
Trilogies have been all the rage in recent years.
Yeah, well, I mean, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings kind of kicked sort of that. That's a film thing. That's not a Marvel Studios thing. And should the question is for our topic of tonight: should the MCU take like a break afterwards? And I, despite that I'm a Marvel fan myself, I think they should, because they're playing the continuity game, and this has been the biggest gamble, and it has paid off tremendously with this experiment they've been going with, this interconnected movie universe that has never been done before, with different franchises connecting in one universe. It's never been done before, you know. It's not like James Bond, where like it's like all the Bonds team up at the end of one movie. No. It's not like that. But I think just because of eventually this is going to be – people are A, it's diminishing returns, and people are just going to get tired of it, you know? Like that sort of, oh my God, this is connected, is going to go away eventually. Eventually it becomes the norm. And when it becomes the norm, it loses that power of being in the universe, of being this cohesive universe. And I don't think they can – I honestly don't think they can keep it up forever. They can't. I think it has to end. I think that if not end, take a break for a couple of years and then, like, you know, they'll probably reboot the universe in 2000 and at the end of Infinity War in some weird way, you know, or something. But I really don't think we need – like, I don't think every character needs a trilogy, you know, like, you know – I think it's very popular to get a trilogy. I think everybody wants a trilogy out of their favorite characters. But I don't think a trilogy is necessarily needed, in my opinion. And this is coming from a Doctor Strange fan, who if I get one Doctor Strange movie, that's fine. I don't need more, you know. Would I like more? Yes, but I don't think we need more. I wouldn't be fine if like after Infinity War they take a few years off, you know. It wouldn't, like, because at the speed they're going, they're at least doing two, and in a couple of years, three movies a year. That's a lot of time in production and all a bunch of things. And eventually, and not to mention that Warner Brothers is going to be competing along side by side with them. That's a lot of superhero movies all at once. They're going to be dominating the summer in a couple of years. So me personally, I think after Infinity War Part 2, which that's a fucking stupid trend that should have – fuck you, Harry Potter! This should have never have happened. But I really think the MCU should stop after, if not stop, personally, I think it should just end. Just no more MCU. Just do solo superhero movies that no interconnecting universe, or just, you know, not, I don't know, or not, or like have it connected, but not like have it like where you need to see the next movie. 'Cause like, you feel like you need to see every single movie to get something with the MCU. That's my opinion. Take a break. Tone it down. Do like one or two movies a year. You guys go.
Go ahead, Bray.
All right. Part of the impetus for this discussion topic was a post I made over in a thread on the GLC NB, the Unpopular Opinions thread, wherein I said that the Marvel Cinematic Universe after Infinity War should take a year or two off, you know, just kind of do its own thing, maybe tread water for a little while, you know, and that way they can plan their next move, they can re-sign or recast actors as necessary, sort of just, you know, and also let the audience factor, you know, let the audience, you know, cool it a little bit, because, you know, I will say that originally when Iron Man came out and you saw Nick Fury, who asked about the Avengers Initiative, you know, you didn't really know what to expect. It was only after the first Avengers movie rolled around where you realized, holy shit, this is a thing.
No, it was. I would argue that when Cap and Thor came out.
Okay,
like,
fine.
The dream became realized in 2012.
That's what
yes.
I was saying. God
yeah.
damn it.
No, I was just helping you collect your thoughts.
I can collect my thoughts on my own.
Thank You're from Boston. You can't.
Says the guy from Texas.
I'm from Boston, thank you. Oh, the academic God. Part of the state.
Oh, that's dude. Not saying much, dude.
Anywho, Avengers was the realization of that effort, and it was it made all the money in the world, and world peace was achieved, and suddenly everybody loved Avengers, and that was a thing, and that was cool. And then you had Phase 2, which is, I think, only ended a couple weeks ago when Ant-Man came out, which I always thought was odd that they had Ant-Man end off Phase 2 as opposed to Age of Ultron, but that's stupid. Anyway, Phase 2 was like, okay, cool, they're still doing it. Well, okay, that's cool, I guess, you know. And I realized Ant-Man totally blew past me in terms of promotion and media. You know, when I went in to see the movie, it was a feeling of almost total just indifference. Not that I didn't want to see it, but that there was hardly any excitement behind me seeing it. I was like, okay.
Oh, for Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Well, there was hardly any like big budget press for it. There was no hype machine behind it.
Even before that, though. Okay, so Ant-Man, I go into it, and I'm just kind of like, okay, this is cool. And as I said in our Ant-Man special, that there was a feeling of sameness to it, at least to me. And that being said, you know, it's just, they're eventually going to run out of steam one way or the other, whether it's money, throw out the actors, which they will need to re-sign eventually, because I think after this segment, or Phase 3, you know, Chris Evans says he wants to leave, he wants to do his own thing, he wants to direct. RDJ is hardly a presence anymore. You know, he's in for like one or two more movies and then he's gone. You know, just these characters that have sort of, you know, they're going to go their own way and do their own thing. And the thing that makes comic books great is that you can see these stories build over years and decades and things like that. You know, movies, it's trickier business because, you know, continuity errors are difficult to fix with just a mega event that, you know, punches the timeline and boom, everything's fixed again. And plus, there is the matter of recasting actors versus moving the story ahead and this, that, and the other thing. So I believe that it would probably be in Marvel's best interest to just take a couple of years off. You know, don't rush to put out any new movies, because that was another thing that kind of blew up in their face when they came out and showed every movie for Phase 3. And people were like, well, thanks for ruining the surprise for that. You know, people aren't surprised anymore by what Marvel's doing.
Like, holy shit. And then you look at the time, I'm like, holy shit, that's a long time.
It's not a factor anymore. And also, like Iggy said, they'll be competing against WB, who's finally gotten their shit together, you know, allegedly. And they have all these movies like Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman. And then they're going to do, like, Green Lantern. And there's going to be Wonder Woman and Cyborg. This, and then and Aquaman. And you'll be competing against each other, and that's to say nothing of the independent properties that get adapted and brought to the screen. God knows there's enough of them. I mean, someone did Invincible. That would be done. Boom, right there. But the point is, even if Marvel Studios did take a 2-year break or something, that doesn't mean everything they do has to go away. Obviously, not everything would go away. I mean, depending on how long Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. runs for, or Agent of Carter gets renewed, or this, that, and the other thing, they'll still have a presence on TV. So of all their extra media, video games, you know, cartoons, this, all that stuff. So to me, it has to reach a point where, you know, this can't be the norm anymore, because it loses the special feeling that you had when you first went and saw, you know, the Avengers or Iron Man or Thor or Captain America, this, that, and the other thing. You know, there has to be a point where we take a step back and say, okay, we beat this shit literally into the ground. Now what? You know? And it's just fatigue, you know? It's really all it is. I need a break from Marvel. I need them to give me some breathing room, because even if Marvel Studios takes a break, they still have X-Men and Fantastic Four over at Fox Studios.
God, you're still talking?
Yeah, I am. and say nothing of Sony's joint deal, which may preclude them from banning Spider-Man from making movies or whatever, which we haven't even got to yet. God save me.
2017.
It's just fatigue, man. I need a break.
I will say this. I agree that I think Marvel Studios. Yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to interrupt if you were still going.
No, go on. You go.
Marvel Studios needs to take a break, I think, after the Infinity movies. You know, give it a couple of years. That way they can see what worked, what didn't, do their contract negotiations, to do recasting, whatever. Maybe look into doing other properties like, say, Young Avengers, you know, other stuff that can, you know, keep the market going somewhat. I think they're going to take a break anyway, because when you've got Batman versus Superman coming up with, you know, DC, you know, if Warner Brothers has truly got their shit together, Marvel's going to eventually have to compete against the big seven over there as Justice League. You know, now Marvel can crow that they managed to get the Avengers out first, but when the Justice League movie finally sees the light of day and people aren't hopefully totally, you know, fatigued on everything, that's going to probably be one of the top movies of all time, because you're finally getting to see the live action DC heroes together in one movie, just, you know, later than what, you know, they should have been, but, you know. But I personally think they've got the timelines and stuff, and we did see a little bit of what caused Avengers Age of Ultron to get kind of discombobulated, because they were trying to tie in everything into the movie to start propelling the storylines forward. And while you can do that in a comic book, it's very hard to do that in a movie. They kind of did it to a satisfying degree for me in the Age of Ultron, but it didn't work for everybody, you know, as... you know, Iggy has expressed his displeasure.
Creed.
Yeah. And, you know, they're going to have a lot, they got a lot of stuff coming out, and people are going to start getting fatigued to a certain degree, although my kids won't, because while they've always liked superheroes, they haven't really gotten to see the super, you know, movies in the theater up until within the last couple of years, because, like, I took them to see Guardians. I took them to see Avengers Age of Ultron because they really, really wanted to go see it. And they enjoyed it. And they've enjoyed all the other movies. They didn't get to see Ant-Man because they wanted to see Minions first, which that was fine. That gave me something to get away from Minions. But so we do have, there is a certain part of the population that is growing up and they're going to see all these movies. And as a parent, a comic book person, as a parent, I'm happy for that. But I'm also kind of going to the point where I'm like, really? Good God, how much more have we got, you know, going on? And it's going to get to that point. I mean, we're going to see, I hope Doctor Strange does well. I hope, and that'll be another topic for another time on that casting and stuff. And I'm not complaining about Cumberbatch. Black Panther, I've been looking forward to possibly a Black Panther movie for a long time. I'm still going to have reservations about it. We'll just have to see how it goes. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, going to be there. Cap and Thor, I'm definitely going to be there. If they do a fourth Iron Man movie with RDJ, probably not, considering the clusterfuck that was Iron Man 3. But
still made a ton of money.
Oh, I know.
Hey, Marky Mark wants to play Iron Man. Sign his ass up.
Oh.
Yeah, but then if he starts dry humping a talking teddy bear, we're not going to. Anyway, but anyway, I agree. I think they need to take a break. more for the fact they're going to figure out, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to want to release than anything else. But you know how movie studios are. They're going to drive it into the freaking ground to the Earth's core until it stops making money.
That's Hollywood right there.
Yeah, that's just Hollywood in general. And it's also Disney. They're going to milk it for all it's worth. Because we're not even talking about the Star Wars stuff that's coming out.
Oh,
we're
God, gonna, yeah. You that's know, another and, thing. They're going to, like, it's like, oh.
It's yeah. Oversaturation. It's flooding the market.
Yep. And to paraphrase from Archer, stop it.
This is all your fault. This is all your fault, Marvel.
Yeah. To paraphrase Archer, you need to go stop it. Please stop it. My penis can only get so erect. You know.
And, like eventually, when does the luster lose itself?
Yeah.
Because I think we're starting to see that, like a
Age
bit
of Ultron.
With,
yeah.
I think we're starting to see like the paint sort of coming off a little bit, like that. The magic is still there for the Marvel movies. Don't get me wrong, but
it's
not like that first time. It's like you never forget your first
time.
It's never going to recapture those from Iron Man 1, 2, Hulk, Thor, Cap, Avengers. It's never going to recapture the magic of those six movies. As hard as they're trying, and as good as a lot of these films have been. They cannot keep continuing to capture that same magic. It can't happen.
Mm.
All right. Well, either way, I think this is a very topic discussion of whether you want to see the MCU continue or not. I guarantee a lot of people who don't like superhero movies are don't like it. You know, but more power to you. You know, like these aren't perfect films. They're just what makes a lot of money nowadays. Just like how young adult novels are the craze in books today. Let us know what you think in the comments about the MCU or about the state of superhero movies in general. Do you think this should end? Do you think because eventually this has to end? I mean, great. This has been going on since 2000, but in terms of everything being this cohesive thing since at least 2000 and at least 11, that's when everything started rolling out more and more frequently, at least from my perspective. So let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about that. So that's going to do it for this show. Brian, do you have anything to plug before we go?
Not really. I'm all set as is. All
right.
Just the fact that next week when we resume our regularly scheduled podcasting, I'm going to fucking rip a new one into a certain comic that will not be named. But for right now, yeah.
I'm just Old Man Logan?
Yeah, actually.
Okay,
spot on call.
It was a red shot in the dark. You have to tell me after offline.
I will tell you off.
But I have plenty of things to plug. MarvelousSiggy.wordpress.com for all new RPG commentaries. Sorry for the no game reviews. I have like six of them planned and written. I just got to post them. Seriously. First one's going to come out, like, I believe this week with Street Fighter Third Strike, which I've been playing a lot lately. I wrote a review on that one. That one's been a lot of fun to work with. But new RPG commentary continuing as of this recording, Terminator 2 Judgment Day. So you can go you can go check that one out. Dragon and I did a commentary for Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Had a lot of fun with that one. I might have fallen asleep towards the end and said something about the Sega Genesis. I don't really remember, but go listen to it anyways. It was a good time. And, of course, if you want to check out my review on Green Lantern Comics, you can go to Green Lantern Corps, thegreenlanterncorps.com, where I write all things review. I write about a majority of the Green Lantern books except for Sinestro. And I even write reviews for Justice League book. For the current Justice League flagship title book. So you can check that out as well. And then, of course, I just got a certain hookup with my computer, so my Twitch streaming library became a lot bigger. So if you're interested in Twitch streams and you have some free time, I'm going to be streaming a lot more soon, at least more frequently, at twitch.tv/Iggy2814. You Green Lantern fans should remember that number. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, you all have a good night.
Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy. I'm
not worried. He's Googling real quick to confirm something on Silver Surfer in the second.
What about Silver Surfer? What about Silver Surfer?
It was Lawrence Fishburne voicing him.
Holy shit, it was voiced by Lawrence Fishburne.
I could have told you it was.
I didn't know that.
Could you not recognize that man's sexy voice?
I hadn't seen The Matrix before I saw the movie.
What the? What?
I was like 14 when the movie came out. What the fuck do you want me to do?
I was fucking 9 when I saw Matrix. No fucking excuse.
No. Hang on a second. Why would I have seen The Matrix? I wouldn't have been able to understand The Matrix before
that. I didn't fucking understand The Matrix, but I fucking saw the goddamn movie regardless, and I recognized Lawrence Fishburne. Fuck you. Fuck you. Just fuck you. I was going to invite you to our Matrix commentary. Not anymore, sucker. Not any fucking more.
Hey, okay?